Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We're so glad that you're here with us as we sing our praises and offer our prayers to God and hear God's word. Lots in the bulletin going on. I'll point out that October the 11th, which is next, it's a couple weeks from now, on a Wednesday or a Thursday, middle of the week sometime, I can't remember. October the 11th, you all have calendars. I'm not doing a very good job yet this morning. We're going to do a meal at the Genesis House, which is the shelter for families downtown. Neil is heading up that effort. If you would be willing to help either with food or with manpower, I don't think we need a whole lot of manpower because the building is not very big, but we will need four, five, six folks maybe to at the most to be there that day to help serve the meal. If you would be willing to be involved in that in any capacity, please speak with Neil, and we'll make some more certain arrangements as to who's doing what as we get a little bit closer. October 21st is going to be a busy Sunday evening here at Holly Grove. We're going to have our Silly Halloween event, and we're also having an event for middle and high school students, not just from our church, but from all the churches, Lutheran churches in the county. So hope you will join us for those, either with little ones or with older ones. For the middle and high school crowd, we'll be over at the ball field area, and the silly group will meet back here, back behind the church. I think I'll leave it there this morning, other than asking you to check those announcements out in the bulletin. Are there other announcements we should share? Tina.
Just a reminder that for the next two Sundays, we'll be selling lemonade, and we hope that you'll be able to give our silly donation, so please enjoy a cup of lemonade after service. And also, I'll have a sign-up sheet if anybody can do it in front.
And lemonade is going to be where?
Right outside.
Straight out these front doors, and that's today and next week. If you could support the silly youth, buy some lemonade, give them a donation. Neil.
This Thursday, the 4th at 7 o'clock, there was the office complex meeting for the budget for next year's executive committee.
Thank you. Yeah, so if you are, spell those out for us. Officer of the council. Former treasurer, and maybe me. Okay, yeah, budget meeting is happening this Thursday. Other announcements we should be aware of? Do we have any prayer shawls this morning? We'll wish happy birthday then this week to Carolina, to William, and to Kevin, and happy anniversary to Tim and Sharon, and to Robin and Karen, 50th. I believe Robin and Karen may be toward Raleigh somewhere because Kevin, whose birthday is also noted, Kevin Stewart, their son-in-law, had open-heart surgery, I believe, on Monday. So certainly we keep him in our prayers. Things went well is what I heard, but obviously that's a big surgery. Let's say a prayer for all of those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
did want to mention one additional announcement. The 4 years I've been here, we have had a nursery staffed by volunteers, and that's been wonderful, and we appreciate those volunteers. And I believe my children have used that on occasion, and I can think of one family that visits several times a year that uses that on occasion. And everybody else who takes a kid to their nursery, as far as I know, goes with their child and sits with their child in the nursery as long as their child's in there. I think we just have a cultural shift on that. It's sort of not the norm at this point that kids get dropped in the nursery. So trying to be respectful of our nursery volunteers' time, we're going to make a change and see how this works. And if it goes poorly, we can reassess. But we're going to make a change starting next month, which is next week, and not have a regular staff person volunteer in the nursery because we're just not using them. They're just sitting in there by themselves, or they're sitting in there with children and their parents. So what we'll do is we'll ask those people who have been willing to do nursery in the past, and maybe some of us even could help them, that if there are Sundays when we have a situation where we need somebody dedicated to be in there, there may be Sundays when I need that because Carrie is working or whatever's going on. We will try to communicate that, and if we can communicate that in advance, we will. If not, that morning we'll say, we need somebody in the nursery. Would anyone be willing? It will be more chaotic, but it will also, I think, be more respectful of the time of these nursery volunteers who are just sitting there twiddling their thumbs and not being in worship. So, just wanted to give you a heads up. That's what we're going to try. If it doesn't work, we will be happy to note that and look for another solution, but that's where we're going to be. If you have questions about that, please feel free. Talk to me about it. We'll try to work through, think about how this can work the best, but I just wanted you to be aware. There are some thoughts on that in the newsletter, too. For this morning, now I invite you to stand as we begin our worship on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Generous God, your Son gave his life that we might come to peace with you. Give us a share of your Spirit, and in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated if the children will join me for a children's message. Good morning. How's everybody? Good morning, good morning. So, we have got a story today. I'm going to tell you this story, okay? We're going to hear this in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has these people who follow him around and who he teaches. Do you remember what they're called, anybody? Starts with a D.
Jesus.
What is it, Gracie? Disciples. Yeah, these disciples are the people who follow Jesus around. They're like his crew, his entourage. They sort of follow him like sheep follow a shepherd. That's right. These are the people that Jesus is doing most of his teaching with, and the people that Jesus sends out to help him too. So he's talking to these disciples, and they're upset one day. And you know what they say? They say, Jesus, We were out here doing your work, and there's this guy, and we don't even know who he is, and he's not with us, but he was using your name, and he was casting out demons out of people, and he was healing them. Jesus, make him stop. And they were upset, right? Because they thought they were Jesus' followers, and this other person they didn't even know. And you think Jesus was upset? No. Jesus was not upset. Jesus said, hey, look, I don't know him, you don't know him, but he's doing good work, he's healing people, he's using my name. If he's not against us, he's for us, he's with us, he's doing the work of God. So, help us sort of think about this a little bit this morning. I got some string here, all right? This is yarn, all right? You guys know yarn, right?
Yeah.
Yarn is made up like a lot of rope. It's not just one string. Did you know that? If you pull on it, it'll come apart, and you've got four or five strands in here, depending on what kind of yarn you've got. So some of you guys hold on to some of these strands of yarn here for me. Conrad, you can hold on to that one. And if you'll hold on to that one, look at that, those little strings for me, if you would. Do they look very strong? See if you can break it. I want to see if you can break it. You already broke it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I broke it before you
started. Oh my goodness. So it's not very strong, is it? No. That one little strand by itself, you can just pull it apart and break it. It's not very strong.
When it's really little, it's harder to break it.
But if you take all the strands together in one piece of yarn, it's really very strong. It's a lot harder to break when you put them all together like that. Right. So we put yarn, all those strands together, to have a stronger yarn. I think following Jesus is maybe sort of like that too. If we try to follow Jesus with just us, sometimes we're kind of weak and sometimes we can break down. But if we are together when we follow Jesus, if we're all working for the same goal, even if we don't know the other people who are working for the same goal, do you all know there's other churches in town? We're not the only church.
Yeah, but that way, not just a couple of people can learn about God. Everyone needs to learn about God so they can follow His way.
Yeah, so if there are more churches out there, there are more people telling people about God, and they might tell it a little differently, but we're glad they're out there telling people about God, because if we're together telling people about God, if we're all doing it, we have a stronger message, right? So we can rejoice that other people are out there doing that, and we can look for ways that we can work together with other people who are telling people about God. Would you all pray with me? Lord God, thank you for giving us other people, even ones we don't know, who tell people about you. Help us work together. Amen. Thank you all for being with me this morning. If you are headed to Children's Church, you can line up at that door with Miss Susan, and you're also certainly welcome to stay with us. And you know what? If you'd like to, you can give me that trash yarn back, so you don't have to carry it around to Children's Church. Thank you. Thank you.
A reading from Numbers. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If we only had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child,' to the land that you promised an oath to their ancestors? "Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 19. Will be read responsively by a whole verse. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. A reading from James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. If you were to put our gospel reading today from Mark into a category other than good news, well, I wouldn't be particularly surprised. Fire, self-harm, the possibility of being thrown into hell where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. I think that's probably enough to make anybody squirm. But I'm here to tell you this morning that despite the harsh language and disturbing imagery, what we just heard is, in fact, good news. So let me start with this. Jesus is exaggerating. This is not a call to weigh yourself down with rocks and take a long walk off a short pier. This is not instruction from Jesus to do any sort of self-harm. Jesus is using drastic language to get the disciples' attention, because nothing else seems to have worked. Just look back at what's been happening over the last chapter or so in the action of Mark's gospel. In the end of the 8th chapter, Jesus admits to the disciples that he is the Messiah, but then he shatters their expectations about who the Messiah is, what kind of Messiah he's going to be. Not one who seeks glory, but one who will suffer, die, and be raised. And of course, the disciples are thick, and so right after Jesus tells them he hasn't come for glory or greatness, the disciples turn around and argue among one another about who is the greatest. So Jesus tries again to get this message across. "Look," he says, "whoever wants to be first must be last of all and a servant of all." And he drives this point home by taking a little child and sitting it right in the midst of them, telling them they ought to be about welcoming the children, the least, the most insignificant, not about worrying and competing for greatness. So that's where we've been, and then we pick up in our passage for today. After all of this teaching, what did the disciples do? "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and he wasn't following us, so we tried to stop him." After all of this teaching about serving others, the disciples get all bent out of shape because this guy casting out demons, not that he wasn't following Jesus, because he wasn't following us. Did you catch that? That's what they said. This guy wasn't following us. Never mind that he's doing the work of healing and restoration that Jesus came to bring. Never mind that he's relieving the suffering of those who had been hopeless. He's not listening to us, Jesus. He's not following us, Jesus. And the implication is, make him stop, right? I think Jesus has got to be shaking his head here. Over and over, he's trying to make this point to them that it's not about greatness. It's not about who is in charge. It's not about who is first. The whole point, Jesus has been trying to say, is about caring for those in need, being the servant of all, welcoming those who have no power, no influence, no status. And the disciples are whining about the good work being done by this guy because he's not part of our crew. So I think we can understand that Jesus might want to use some strong words and images here to try to get the point across that this laser focus on status and power and influence, this laser focus on being in control that the disciples are holding on to so tightly, it has to go. And so, Jesus seems to say, if they can't unclench their hands and let go of this sinful behavior, well, maybe they just need to cut their hands off. If they can't seem to see with their own eyes how hurtful this tendency to control everything is, well, maybe they need to get rid of their eyes. Because the way Jesus sees it, whoever is not against us is for us. Whoever is not against the gospel is for it. But what do we do with all this talk about hell, right? Where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Well, as it turns out, Mark didn't write the word hell in this part of the gospel. It's not there. You heard me read it three times, but that's a translation. Each of the three times we find the word hell in this passage, what Mark wrote was this Greek word Gehenna, which is not hell in the sense of, you know, a devil with red horns and a pokey stick and fiery lava torturing people for all eternity. That's not actually what Gehenna means. Gehenna is actually a place. It's the name of this valley in Jerusalem that you can still visit today. I've been there. In the day of Jesus, Gehenna was the town garbage dump. So, yeah, there were worms there all the time eating the spoiled food. And yeah, there were fires burning at all hours of the night trying to deal with this waste and keep down the smell from all the stuff that was constantly being dumped there. It's kind of an interesting backstory, actually, how this valley, Gehenna, becomes the town dump. You see, it turns out, back in the day, before Jesus' time, the Gehenna Valley was the site of pagan worship, worship to other gods, and it even included some really disturbing things like child sacrifice to these other gods in this Gehenna Valley. So, when Josiah, who was one of Israel's kings, when he starts trying to reform the country's religious life, one of the first things he does is say, we got to put a stop to this pagan worship with child sacrifice out here in the Gehenna Valley. You know what we're going to do? We're going to defile that holy site. Let's move the town dump out here to where they've been doing all this mess. He literally moves the dump there to stop them from worshiping false gods there. So, with this history, the Gehenna Valley sort of became the place where it was expected that the dead, those who had rebelled against God and died, that they wouldn't end up buried in the cemetery with the faithful people, but the dead who had rebelled against God, you know what, we're just going to toss them into the garbage dump in the Gehenna Valley. And so, all this talk about Gehenna, it's not a threat that if they don't shape up, they're going to spend eternity in a fiery hell. What Jesus is doing is calling out their sinful behavior, this self-focus, putting themselves above all else, and saying, look, it would be better for you to root out, to dig out, to cut out the sin from your lives than it would be to go on in this self-serving way. Jesus is calling them away from their selfish behaviors by making this drastic comparison to the place where they took the bodies of folks who rebelled against God. He's saying, don't do that. Don't go down this road. Repent. Turn away. It's not about eternal torture. It's about avoiding this hell on earth, this Gehenna. That is the judgment. And this judgment is good news. Because, I mean, I feel like a broken record. I feel like I've been saying this a lot lately. But there are things that do not belong in the kingdom of God, right? Lord have mercy. Did anybody watch any TV this week and see the Supreme Court hearings? I couldn't tear myself away. Wherever your political leanings are, I think we can all agree that sexual assault of any kind in any place does not belong in the kingdom of God, right? That threats and name-calling do not belong in the kingdom of God. That lies and untruths do not belong in the kingdom of God. And the good news is that God judges all of those things and more. All sin, God judges unworthy of entering God's kingdom, God's good kingdom. God doesn't want to ruin the place with this kind of stuff. God judges it not worthy. Selfishness, preoccupation with greatness. God says that's unworthy of God's kingdom. And this judgment is good news, because we have these tendencies in us, you and I, just like the disciples did. We have this tendency to look at ourselves, this captivity to sin. It's deeply ingrained in us. But the good news from the way Jesus talks is that Jesus isn't interested in throwing out the baby with the bath water, right? It's the sin in us that is not welcome in the kingdom, right? Jesus is still interested in us being there. So he talks about that sin as something to be removed to allow that kingdom life. Like a surgeon removes a tumor to make way for life, Jesus talks about judgment that way. Get rid of it and live. Which brings us finally to salt and to fire. Jesus says, for everyone will be salted with fire. And well, that sounds pretty unpleasant, right? I'm willing to admit that. But aside from taste, what's salt used for, especially before refrigeration was widespread? Preservation, right? You salt the ham or the barrel of fish so you can keep it from going bad. Salt keeps things good. So to be salted with fire, what if that is about preservation? What if we're talking about using fire for purification, burning off impurities so that all that's preserved of us is the child of God that God always intended us to be? As I watched the complete breakdown of the institutional process over this Supreme Court nomination this week, I've become more convinced than ever that this is a judgment that we need. These Congress people can't even work together on something because they're too hung up on this "he's not following us" mentality, right? This "they aren't on our team" mentality. And we're hung up in it too. Like all sin, it's bad for us. When it has a grip on us, we are less than the people God created us to be. So we need judgment in our lives. Maybe not the kind that says who's in and who's out, but the judgment that yanks out of us the nastiness that does not belong for the sake of leaving us with life abundant. And this is the judgment that God promises, and it's good news, even if it hurts. So come, Lord Jesus, heal our world, bring your judgment of grace. Amen.
Let's profess our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed found on the screen and page 217. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven.
Freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's beloved creation. Gracious God, you gather together people of faith in every time and every place to be the risen body of Christ in the world. Enliven the church to nourish its members, to love the earth, and to serve its neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sovereign God, you bless people with intelligence and compassion. Inspire citizens to raise up good leaders who seek peace and reconciliation among nations and who long to repair the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you house the homeless and free the captive and heal the sick. Make our hands your hands in service to strangers and friends. We pray especially for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, the family of Betty, Lydia, John, Wilson, Billy, Gracie, Chuck, Brianna, Daryl, Wayne, Judy, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, the family of Roy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, bring healing to all those who have been victims of sexual assault, and tear the complacency with its frequency out of us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Welcoming God, you have given us to each other in this congregation. Make us glad to receive those you send to us and ready to receive their unique gifts and perspectives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with each other. Thank you.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise.
By your word,
Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.